Hi, I'm Michelle Carnahan, president of 30 Madison. ThemTech to me is providing accessibility and outcomes across the continuum of women's healthcare issues and using our decision-making clout to drive women's healthcare transformation.
Welcome to FemTech Focus with Dr. Brittany Barreto, exploring the past, present, and future of women's health and wellness.
Welcome to the FemTech Focus podcast, brought to you by Fem Health Insights, the leaders in women's health market research and consulting. In this show, we have meaningful and provocative conversations with Fem Health experts. These academics, doctors, and innovators tell us about the past, present, and future of women's health and wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Brittany Barreto, and today's episode, I interview Michelle Carnahan, president of 30 Madison, which was recently valued at over $1 billion. Michelle has spent her career focused on ensuring patients have access to quality care that they deserve. In her role at 30 Madison, she oversees their suite of digital health brands, which includes Keeps for Hair, Cove for Migraines, Facet for Dermatology, and of course, Nurx. Nurx Sending has served over 1 million patients and is a female-focused digital healthcare platform helping women access birth control, emergency contraception, STD testing, treatment and prevention, acne, hair loss, BV, yeast infection, UTIs, and mental health. Their ease of use, affordable prices, and high-quality medical team makes getting your basic healthcare quick, cheap, and easy. I should know, I've been a happy patient of theirs for over 4 years. In this interview, we discuss 30 Madison, Nurx, and what makes these companies so important, how Nurx has revolutionized digital healthcare for women, and the primary differences between building a startup and working at a large established company. This is a great opportunity to learn more about the future of at-home healthcare. Enjoy the episode. Hey, Michelle, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brittany. Thanks so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Awesome to have you. I have been a patient of your company's for years now. So I've been getting my birth control without thinking about it, without anxiety for years. And I can't imagine my life any other way.
Well, thank you very much. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm really excited to learn more today about how, you know, the delivery of birth control and now additional products has really elevated women's health, because what we see in FemTech is a really critical piece is convenience. Women do not have all this extra bandwidth and time. And it's not just even physical time, right? It's that mental time of, oh, I have my 3 months is coming up. I need to call my doctor. I need to get the pharmacy. It's the thinking space that is taken up. So I'm really excited to talk to you today about how technology can alleviate all that from women.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Where are you calling us from today?
From New Jersey, the lovely Garden State. So awesome. I moved to New Jersey about 6 years ago, and so I'm a happy New Jersey resident.
I'm actually from New Jersey as well. And then I lived in Houston for 8 years for graduate school. And I like to say that Houston taught me manners. They taught me how to like ask people how they're doing and listen to the answer. They slowed me down a little bit.
Absolutely. We lived in Houston too. So I lived and worked in Houston for a while too. So but I'm a born Midwesterner and then lived around the country a bit, including Houston, but have been in New Jersey the last.
You've always had manners. Okay.
I am a bit of a Midwesterner at my core. So yes.
Well, we always love to learn a little bit more about our guests. You know, not everybody is in kindergarten today saying, I want to work in FemTech. Maybe they are at this point now. Maybe they actually are. That would be really cool. But we usually found ourselves in women's health after some, you know, changes or events in our life. So kind of give our listeners just a little bit of backstory about who you are and how'd you end up here?
Absolutely. Well, I grew up in the important things about me. I grew up in Indiana. I have two sisters. So we were an all-female household with the exception of my dad and the dog. And then I married. I met my husband on an airplane. Interesting fact about me. And I have one son who is now in college. So those are the important things about me. But the other things, I spent about almost 30 years in the pharma industry before coming over to digital health. I did what a lot of pharma executives do. I ran business units. So you name the space, women's health space for a while, musculoskeletal, autoimmune, did that at Lilly for about 25 years. And then worked at Sanofi for about 2.5, 3 years, and then came to digital health. And why did I come? Well, more than anything, I loved the therapeutic space. I loved working in that space. But more than anything, I really wanted to work to get healthcare to people. I used to have a CEO that used to say, you know, the pills in this bottle are only hope in the bottle until they get in a person.
Wow.
And so to me, what FemTech, what digital health is doing is it's really transforming and changing the face of healthcare, which is something we need to do in this country. So that's what brought me here. And that's what's kept me really excited the last 4 years here.
I'm really moved by that because the longer I work in FemTech, the more I'm seeing solutions being invented and then a version one, MVP, product market fit. Oh, we're going, right? But one of the things that we're noticing is medical devices or therapeutics are getting approved by the FDA, but then we need doctors to use them. And we're actually finding that is a surprising barrier that a lot of gynecologists and obstetricians are like, well, I wasn't trained on that. And I have the highest malpractice insurance of any other physician. I'm the most overworked type of physician. I don't know if I want to try a new tool. And so that's actually a really interesting barrier that we're finding in FemTech. So I hear you loud and clear. We can make all the solutions, but unless they're actually being provided to the patient, it doesn't work.
Yep, exactly. And I mean, it's one of the reasons why I'm sure we'll get into in this podcast that I really loved 30 Madison. And it's why I kind of found my home there, because that end-to-end model of how do you get the care on the front end, the treatment in the middle, the ongoing condition management, how do you pull all that together? And so I love, like you, I've seen that whole MVP one. It's really been fun to watch. We're going to get there. I'm convinced we're going to get there.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners, what is 30 Madison?
Yeah, 30 Madison is a specialty care company that aims to do two things: improve access and deliver a health outcome. I always like to say in healthcare, you know, you're not selling paper towel, that access matters and experiences matter. But if you don't get a health outcome, if you come to us with a migraine and you leave with one at Cove, we haven't done what we need to. So we're really trying to dramatically simplify access to high quality healthcare for millions of patients. And that's healthcare across that end-to-end care, all the way from the care to the treatment to the ongoing condition management. We connect now to about 1 million patients. So we've about 1 million active patients across 20 conditions. Our key brands are Keeps, which is for men's hair loss, Nurex, which we'll talk about, which runs the women's health gambit, and then Cove for migraine. We really have three key differentiators, if you think about it. The first is that care model that aims to deliver an outcome. You know, one of the businesses I'm really proud of is our migraine business. 75% of Cove patients who come in experience an improvement in their migraine, and there is almost 60% reduction in emergency visits. So the first piece is get to that care model, get that care. The second is allowing patients to access healthcare. 46% of migraine patients live in a county where there's not a headache specialist. Almost over a third of all of our women's health patients they live in a women's health desert. Mm-hmm. So how do we allow access? 28 days, we reduce the time to see a clinician. So it's kind of like you've talked about, I'm not worried about how do I get that appointment? How long? So how do we allow access to happen? And how do we use technology to scale all that? And so that's what we're really aiming to deliver, that access with a real healthcare outcome.
Interesting. And so for those who may have never, you know, didn't realize that NERX was owned by 30 Madison or Keeps was, so 30 Madison itself is a virtual first clinic, essentially, right? Is there appointments that are under the brand of 30 Madison, or is it always through these other sub brands?
So typically you can get on a 30 Madison site and find where we are, and you'll be directed to Keeps or NERX and then, or Cove. Once you get on NERX, you can actually then, NERX is the leading digital healthcare company for women, mm-hmm. and it provides comprehensive care to women. So when you go on to the NERX site, and more than 500,000 active patients go to that site today and work on that site, we think a really important part of women's health is, while birth control and reproductive health care is health care, make no mistake about it, women are more than their uterus and ovaries. And so what we've really tried to do is to take reproductive care and then to meet those women, getting back to your point, meet those women where they are. If they're coming in and having dermatological problems or mental health problems and they're on the site, they can really access care providers that help them treat all of that while they are there. So we've really tried to look at women's health and say, we want to lead in reproductive health. And it's critical right now that there are leaders there with birth control and emergency contraception. But we also say, for that woman who needs a convenient, safe, and effective alternative, that we also want to be there to solve dermatological issues, mental health issues, we hope over time, metabolic issues. And so that's what NERX is, and that's what we're trying to bring to the forefront. I think we spend a lot of time talking about reproductive health needs, but we really think and have really seen with our patient base that holistic look at women's health has really been a key unlock in the space.
When did 30 Madison acquire NERX?
Early 22, around January of 22, January, February.
Do you know how old the company was before it got acquired?
I think it was about 3 or 4 years old.
Wow. And to have that many patients, you were saying 500,000?
Yes.
Wow. That's incredible. Who's like the ideal patient for NERX?
So the ideal NERX patient is probably between 21, 45 years old, looking for accessibility to care, looking for ease of care and convenience. Like I said, as we started as a birth control company, what we find our patients are really looking for are treatment options that are designed to grow with them. We also like to talk about our care as kind of specialist level care. So, they're looking for real issues in dermatology or hair loss or mental health, and really thinking about how can we get them in? How can they come onto the system, work asynchronously with one physician? They're assigned one physician when they come in, work asynchronously with that physician, get their prescriptions at their door, and know they have a place to do ongoing condition management and to call and to utilize a physician as they go through treatment. So that woman who's looking for convenience and really looking for a place to get their questions answered when they want them answered, because as you can email or go into the portal and speak with your physician at any time. We like to promise 24-hour turnaround. Occasionally, we'll have longer than that, but it's certainly not, a 30-day typical specialist level turnaround.
Is it available in all 50 states?
It is available in all states where telehealth can be practiced, and so that's almost every place. I think there are 3 where it's not.
Got it. Wow. And it's also affordable. It's a word I don't think you've given yourself credit for. I'm an uninsured entrepreneur female. And so for me, some of the thing that I'm always looking for is like, is this a decent price as an out-of-pocket payer? And I find this to be the cheapest option out there, honestly.
Well, thank you for that, Brittany, because I have to say, whenever I do these interviews, my coaches all tell me I talk too much. And so they've made me kind of, it really is accessible and affordable with an outcome that gives you a delightful experience, but they've made me tighten that up. So thank you for that.
I'll add that back in there for you. Yeah. Because it's true. Like, you know, it's great that it's so reliable. I just get a text that says, you know, hey, we're refilling your pills. If anything's changed, let us know ahead of time, you know? And then it says, okay, it's in the mail, and it just shows up in my mail in a, you know, unlabeled, just with my address kind of thing on it. But the fact that it's, I think I pay maybe $45 every 3 months. That's super. I can actually do that in comparison to other things that I need to get prescribed, you know. It's
affordability is a huge part of access, yep. Right? And one of the things we're really trying to do at 30 Madison is affordable is a piece of it. Access is a piece of it. You know, I always like, we're not selling paper towels though. We want you to have something that works for you because people deserve, women particularly, it's the future of our world, right? Deserve great healthcare. And so we're really trying to do all of those things. You know, I have to tell you the other thing that I think is really neat about the Nurx experience. And we were talking about this a little bit before we got on the podcast about how excited we both were. It's kind of a dream. I've always been interested in women's health, but I've never got to do it with, like, you know, 75% of my day. And that's what I get to do now so much. That's what our physicians are like on the Nurx women's health side too. I mean, the passion that they have about women's healthcare, you know, kind of all in one place. I love it that we can offer that to patients who we're really privileged to serve.
Femtech definitely has a Kool-Aid, and like, we've all drank it. Yeah. And like, if you join us and you have a sip, you're going to be in it and not want to leave. I was just talking to a fellow at AWS today. The AWS wants to launch a new Femtech program. And he was like, everyone I talk to in Femtech is just so nice. And they've made so many intros and they're just so giving. And I'm like, welcome to a female-led industry. This is how it could be, you know?
Amen. You're 100. I can't say it better than that. That's exactly, you know, it's really funny. I was talking to a group of FemTech founders, and, you know, a lot of people like to get us on calls like this and be like, well, what's your competition? Who do you? And I'm like, there is like plenty, you know, there's plenty to go around. And I think that's where FemTech could really differentiate itself. It's a world where people just want to see this care for women get better. And man, you know, there'll be plenty of opportunities if we can stay focused on that.
That's right. That's it's kind of similar to the contraception model, where we know that one contraception will not work for every woman, whether it be a pill, and that pill could be two hormones or one hormone or this much hormone or that much hormone, could be a shot, could be a patch, could be, you know, like an IUD, it could be sterilization. But we, as the female patient, we want those options. And it's kind of actually counterintuitive to how pharma works, which is they want that pill that is a $1 trillion value because everyone wants that one pill. But our pill actually needs to have that diversification. And so I feel like it's almost kind of built into our industry that women deserve options. We need options. And so then all of a sudden we're all partnering because we know that women need all these shops.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm hoping, because I'm on kind of the other end of the reproductive spectrum and perimenopause, and I'm hoping that the same thing happens there, because menopause is the same thing, right? Different symptoms, different. That's right. And so it's going to be the same thing. And I think that's the really exciting part of what we get to do. I mean, it goes back to our providers, who I just can't talk enough about, and their passion about women's health and making sure women find the right option for them. It's incredibly fulfilling.
Yeah. A few questions about that. Does Nurx offer like menopausal support, or, you know, what are kind of the other more typical things beyond? So I'm biased. I use it for birth control, but what are the other verticals that you're seeing patients use it for?
So a lot of dermatology, I'll get to menopause in a minute. Yeah. A lot of dermatology, so acne with medications, et cetera, but even, you know, higher acuity derm type things like psoriasis, et cetera, we can do that. So, but we get a lot of, for women on the, you know, the northern side of birth control, anti-aging is big. So we kind of do the full dermatology spectrum from cosmetic low acuity to higher acuity, dermatitis, psoriasis, things like that. Mental health. So we do not do controlled substances, but depression and anxiety, we do a fair amount of work there. Hair loss for women. And we don't have menopause yet, but we're really excited about that because two other areas we have are migraine, which headache as a part of menopause, and also metabolic weight gain, et cetera, becomes a part. So it's the area that we're looking to expand in, you know, as we think about what we do in the next 12 to 24 months going forward. That's where we really see kind of the opportunity here.
We know that so many women have negative side effects from birth control and that they need to find the right one. I don't know, have a statistic on hand, but I've heard some crazy numbers in terms of how many birth controls a woman has had to try before she found the right one that worked for her. Do you think there's an advantage to digital health being able to tweak these birth control types for a patient versus if she had to go in person to an office, her ability to switch?
I absolutely do for two reasons. Number one is like, if you've got a, I mean, I'm at my desk at work. I still go to work some days and I'm waiting for a call from my doctor about the spotting I'm having or the bleeding I'm having between pills. I got to go find a room. I got to find a right time to have the call. I don't want to have it in front of everybody versus kind of this back and forth relationship you build with Nurx. The second thing is people, it was so interesting to me coming here, having spent a whole career in traditional healthcare, the notes we get from migraine sufferers, from birth control patients saying, I've never felt like a physician has listened to me so much. I've never had such follow-up with my physician. It doesn't mean the physicians you're seeing are bad, but they are scheduled in back to back to back to back to back. Whereas our physicians are scheduled to interact with you where and how you want to interact. And so that ability to interact, go back and forth, we try very much to keep our patients with one healthcare professional as they move through our system. So it's really fascinating to me. I mean, who would have thought that, and a lot of our care is asynchronous, as you know, who would have thought people would build stronger relationships there? But why do they? Because it's convenient, because I can ask anything I want to ask. And I can do it exactly when I want. And the time to get back is so quickly. So yeah, I do think that we see it particularly, there's a lot of, you have to look to find the right birth control a lot. Migraine is another place where, boy, we really have to work with patients to not only find to get the diagnosis, to get the right medication, to get the right dosage of the medication. Those are multiple calls. And I think that this way of practicing medicine really lends itself much better to that. Yeah.
Mental health too, right? With dosaging and which drugs. And and I keep wanting to mention this, that migraines disproportionately affect females. So you have a very wide female population in all these different categories.
I think I always get these stats wrong when I go quoting them, but you know, I think like 95% of our migraine patients are women. It's very,
That's right. Well, what are some of the challenges? You know, we always love to bolster our guests and their companies, and I'm very pro femtech, but we also want to make sure that we're providing really concrete and insightful advice to aspiring or current founders listening. So what are some of the challenges that you've faced?
Look, I think funding is big now. I mean, capital markets changed overnight. It feels like 12 to 18 months ago. Mm-hmm. Differentiation, there's a ton of things out there. the pace of movement. You've got to really, to your point, MVP one, MVP two, you got to really move. And then scale, because you have to have some scale to do some of these things. I mean, by us having a million patients, what that opens up to us to analyze and look at from a data perspective. So like the stat I quoted on Cove, where 65% did not have a follow-up ER or urgent care visit. It allows us to help make better decisions. So, you know, I think those are the big ones to me: funding, differentiation, the pace at which you have to move, scale. You know, I think that, as is so often the case in business, though, the solutions are really pretty easy, frankly. And, you know, I think first and foremost, I've got three rules that will get you past all those things. First and foremost, this is medicine. This isn't paper towels. So patients and great healthcare have to be at the center of what you do. Don't sacrifice it. That's number one. Number two, find a way over time to make more money than you spend. That is a 101 of business, and it's really important. And number three, be assured that you're fixing a real problem. Make sure that you're talking to your customers to understand. Sometimes the problem is very complex. Sometimes in healthcare, there's a lot of low-hanging fruit. So number one, if you stay focused on healthcare and take that responsibility so seriously, number two, try to make more than you spend. And number three, then you can really think about what's that problem. And sometimes it's not that complex, right? Sometimes it's that, to your point, I don't want to think about this 24/7. I want to know every 3 months I'm going to get my message. I want to know that the cost of it is very transparent and it's going to be X dollars and I want it done. You know, that's not rocket science. It feels like rocket science sometimes, but it's not.
I just want to double click on two things that you've said that are also advice that I often give. One is, I tell people in FemTech, don't quit your day job until you get some revenue, because just relying on funding your life through fundraising, we are predominantly female founder industry. So the odds are against us in terms of funding amounts. Then we're working in an industry that has potentially unconvinced investors that we're mostly giving sex ed pitches versus business talks, right? Educating people on these problems. I hope that that is actually turning over now over the last 4 years. But, you know, I also just think at the end of the day, as a serial entrepreneur myself, how often I forgot that revenue is queen, and that at the end of the day, that's actually what you need to focus on is the revenue. So I really wanted to double click on that. And the other point was the rocket science part, because I think sometimes there's this paradigm or this dream, especially in America, there's like this dream of being the next Facebook or this big tech company and stuff. And, you know, sometimes I talk to founders and I'm like, kind of sounds like you want to do like a membership-based local meetup for women who are lactating. And like, that's beautiful. Like, right. That is awesome. And like, you could be so successful and financially and personally and spiritually and, you know, and it could be a small local group, right? It doesn't have to be another app or something.
Yeah, no, I think all of that is very true. You know, one of the things I'm always like, at some point you have to have a goal of a business to make money, because that's what businesses do. But at the end of the day, you said something about the revenue being queen. You will never, though, save your way to greatness. I mean, you should spend sensibly, but you can't. I mean, nobody's going to be like, I won because I saved the most money. You know, it's you have to have a good or service, which is my point number three, that has a need in the market.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, FemTech has plenty of needs, but find out what women actually want to fix those needs, right?
And now, a quick word from our sponsors.
Welcome to the FemTech Focus podcast, brought to you by Fem Health Insights, the leaders in women's health, market research, and consulting. Fem Health Insights offers a plethora of services aimed at propelling the FemTech industry forward. Our team of leading experts specializes in consulting and research, supporting clients across the globe to navigate the complex landscape of women's health innovation. We leverage our extensive database of femtech companies, which is a powerful resource that is also available by subscription on our website for those looking to gain competitive insights or foster a deeper understanding of the femtech industry. In addition to research services, FemHealth Insights takes pride in our vibrant community and mentorship programs, including the largest FemTech Slack community with specialized channels for job listings, networking, and city-specific meetups. Our mentor network, consisting of over 50 seasoned experts, stands ready to support your business endeavors from regulatory navigation to marketing strategy. Moreover, we're excited to offer our Deals newsletter and prestigious First in FemTech Awards. Our monthly Deals newsletter highlights 15 FemTech startup fundraises, connecting them with investors ready to support women's health innovation. The First in FemTech Awards celebrate the achievements of those who have made significant contributions to advancing women's health. Now, here's where you come in. We invite you to subscribe to the FemTech Focus podcast and leave us a review. Your support and feedback are invaluable to us. Additionally, subscribe to the FemHealth Insights newsletter at femhealthinsights.com, where you'll receive weekly emails filled with the top stories, opportunities, and women's health innovation. This newsletter is your gateway to the FemTech world. Links to these resources and more can be found in the show notes. So let's dive into the show. On FemTech Focus, we have meaningful and provocative conversations with FemHealth experts from various fields. These academics, doctors, and innovators share their insights on the past, present, and future of women's health and wellness. Through their stories, we explore the challenges, breakthroughs, and innovations supporting the landscape of women's health.
And now, back to the interview.
Well, you actually have a really impressive background with 26 years working at Eli Lilly. What were some of the lessons that you learned working at a large healthcare organization that you've brought over into your role of digital health?
Yeah, you know, I think in particularly, it was a real gift to work at Lilly. They were an incredible training ground. I mean, I learned the basics of business, and you get to work in a lot of different places. So I worked on small brands, I worked on large brands. So I knew the basics of business, which is really important. Secondly, I learned a lot about healthcare and how the healthcare system worked because, you know, physicians were our customers, consumers were our customers, payers were our customers. So I really got to learn that. And also, one of the things that was interesting about being in a big company is it's sometimes it's more forgiving of mistakes. You would never know it, because big companies are risk adverse. But, you know, I think a lot now about when my biggest problem was, you know, if I, you know, how many millions I got to fund my X program versus, you know, how are you operating the next day? So, but you just learn, you know, you also learn some things about leadership because you get to see so many different pieces in action. But the one thing I have learned too is, to a degree, companies are companies though, right? And I feel a lot of the same pains and a lot of the same positives in big companies and small companies. But I've boiled this short answer down to say, if I could take one thing and put it in a big company from a small company and vice versa, it would be the following. The first is, I would get big companies to speed it up a little bit and be a little risk adverse, that whether you get that extra million or not in business plan is not going to make you or break you. So let's go, get moving, be less risk averse. So that's what I would tell big companies from my learning. What I would tell smaller companies is, don't be afraid of a little process. Mm-hmm. I know that it seems like when because I know sometimes the folks at 30 Madison have rolled their eyes at me when the big company lady comes in and says, we really need to have a way that we govern XYZ, you know, the ears shut off that govern. But, you know, process doesn't kill you and it can make you better. Mm-hmm. And so if I could take something over to the small world, it would be that. Those would be the big two things that if I could just swip them over, I think magical things could happen.
Yep. I remember when I had a startup And then I worked for a very large venture firm that also had an accelerator and had about 100 employees. And we used playbooks. So it was like there was these generations of people before me who had established the original protocol, and they passed it down and they edited it and they passed it down, they edited it. And I was like, this is amazing. As a scientist, are you kidding me? A protocol? Yes, thank you. A perfected protocol. And so everything we do at FemHealth Insights and FemTech Focus is we have a playbook. Anyone who's been an intern or employee for me, we all know I have a playbook for this podcast. I have a playbook for the database, and people who work in those things, I'm like, update the playbook if we've changed a step, you know, like it really is actually quite an excellent tool to have, especially in startups when you're moving so fast and like the CEO is out fundraising or doing that. You have to hope that someone in headquarters, even if headquarters is on Slack or Zoom, knows what they're doing without you needing to be by your phone.
Yep. 100%. I love a good playbook and knowing how to pulse this in. And the great thing about a startup is you're never going to become too reliant on playbooks and processes because it just moves too quickly, but you're going to become reliant enough that it's going to make you better.
That's right. Well, you helped lead a very impressive $140 million Series C, which the 30 Madison valuation was over $1 billion. Super cool. Really impressive. Wow. What was that fundraising process like?
So, you know, I had spent all those years in big pharma and had been the side of, you know, we bought a few companies, et cetera, but I had never been on the other side. So it was both exhilarating and boring all at the same time. So the exhilarating part was telling your story. And one of the important things about telling your story is we really put our results into our story at a Series C. So it was exciting and it felt so rewarding. It was boring in you are kissing a fair amount of frogs to find your princess. But look, I mean, our process, what makes a process successful to me and what made our Series C successful was our investors understand and support the mission that we're trying to be on. They saw this track record of creating innovation. That's why those results are important. They bought into the specialist level kind of patient care. And I think that's really important. You know, every process is going to be a little bit different. And the valuation at the end is so exciting. And the money that you get is so exciting. But the thing I would encourage everybody to think about is, make sure that you're landing in those first two things I talk about, which is the investors understand and support the mission, because you're going to be going through a lot together. And so, you know, that's the one thing that you get so caught up in the moment of, as so much in businesses, a numbers game, but not losing that mission and understanding that they want to be in that with you is, I think, incredibly important. And we were lucky to have gotten that.
What's your vision for the future of 30 Madison? What can we expect?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think as we think about 30 Madison, we're focused, as I said at the beginning, on expanding Nurx and really continuing to own that women's health leadership. We'll also work on keeps and understanding where do we want to be in that space. We want to build out our brands so that they suit the top priority of our patients. So for instance, when I talked about a metabolic expansion or a menopause expansion or how we got to derm and how we got to mental health, we have more than 500,000 women in Nurx that are active, not to the ones who are no longer active that we've spoken to. At the end of the day, we let them do this, you know, we let them kind of dictate where and what are you interested in. So you'll see us there. You'll also see us growing our B2B presence in terms of national payer and employer contracts. And let me tell you why that's important. I think that the telehealth industry is really getting caught up into, I'm a consumer company, I'm an enterprise company. You know, we try not to get too caught up in that and think about our strategic differentiator too, which is that accessibility. And accessibility to us means If you want to use your insurance, you can use your insurance. If you're self-pay, you're going to be self-pay. If you're coming to us for birth control, but need your Prozac or Zoloft, we can, and have depression, we can do that. So we'll want to grow that presence, not to say that we have it, but because it goes back to what patients want to do, how they want to work with us. You know, telehealth has proved itself, I think, an incredibly vital way in the day and age that we're in for people to access birth control, emergency contraception, and education. You know, we had right after the Roe v. Wade ruling, you know, we had folks coming to us wondering, how does emergency contraception work? And we were explaining it and walking people through it. This is where people need it most. And this is where you're going to see us flex the size and heft that we have there, because we think it's incredibly important. At the same time, mental health in this country is at a crisis level. And so we're going to continue to grow where we are. And then, you know, really, I think about what are the two or three emerging areas that our customers are asking us for.
Oh, so exciting to see what you do next. My last question for you is, what do you think the femtech industry as a whole needs the most right now in order to be successful?
You know, I think that there are two things, and we're practicing them both at Nurex, so they won't come as any surprise. The first is that women are more than working ovaries and a uterus. Mm-hmm. So, and that, I mean, mental health, I mean, dermatology, I mean, support when you need it, maternal, I mean, menopause. You know, I still am in sessions where people say there's just not a market for menopause. And I have to say, what in the world are you talking about?
Yeah.
So that's the first thing to me. I mean, let's look at women in that way. The second thing that FemTech needs to get out is women are the healthcare decision makers. 80% of all healthcare decisions are made by women. We surveyed the women who come to us. Over 60% of the women who were not married, did not have a partner, did not have a family, we're still the primary healthcare decision maker for somebody else.
Wow.
The second thing that FemTech needs to do is we need to flex our economic muscle, because that matters if they're the decision maker. So those two things I'm pretty passionate about getting right in FemTech.
I love it, Michelle. This has been such an amazing conversation. Thank you once again for sending me my birth control for the last 4 years. I will continue to be subscribed. It's so convenient. Thank you so much for your time today and being a leader for us in our industry.
Brittany, thank you for everything you are doing in this space. Really appreciate it. And thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to my interview with Michelle Carnahan, president of 30 Madison. If you're looking for accessible and affordable women's healthcare, then go to nurx.com. That's nurx, nurx.com. Okay, Fem fans, it's time to get engaged. If you love the show, then you'll definitely enjoy reading our weekly newsletter. Subscribe at femhealthinsights.com. While there, you can also join our virtual community, which has over 1,000 femtech founders, investors, and advisors you can get insights and feedback from. We have an active events calendar, jobs board, and much more. Please give our social channels for Femtech Focus and Fem Health Insights a follow. The links are in the show notes. And don't forget, sharing is caring. Send this show to a friend or colleague and keep innovating, because improving women's health and wellness improves everyone's health and wellness.